It was raining goals in the UEFA Champions League this evening with 14, yes, 14 goals in just two matches. In Manchester, City and Monaco treated us to an absolute classic.
And it's in by Leroy Sané, and Manchester City have five. It's been an absolutely amazing night of UEFA Champions League football.
Meanwhile, in Germany, there was no less entertainment as Atletico scored four to edge past Leverkusen in a six-goal thriller.
Neatly worked and driven in towards the header, which is guided in by Fernando Torres. Bayer Leverkusen 2, Atletico 4.
So all the best analysis in reaction from Tuesday's pulsating round of 16 encounters to come. And we hear from two of Manchester City's heroes on the night, Raheem Sterling and John Stones. Plus, we look ahead to Wednesday's ties, where Juventus travel to Porto and Leicester continue their European adventure in Spain against an informed Sevilla side. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Matchday Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly and I'm joined by European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, you look a bit worn out by tonight's brilliant drama in Manchester.
Well, at least I wasn't playing in it, I suppose, or defending in it, I suppose, is the better description. What a match. One of the best we can remember in the UEFA Champions League in years, I would say. Two absolutely terrific teams who've offered a lot to the competition in recent years. And I think of offered their best face tonight. I think Monaco would have won that game against most other opposition in the first 60 or 70 minutes. But something that's overlooked about Manchester City, when you think about the individual quality they have and the collective quality they showed in the UEFA Champions League last season, is their industry and their stickability. And they stayed with that game when it looked very, very unpromising, when they could have been hustled out of it, when they could have been passed out of it, when they could have been attacked out of it by Monaco's threats from all over the pitch. And, you know, you think of the individual brilliance of Kun Aguero and Kevin De Bruyne, but the industry, the effort they put in was absolutely extraordinary. They fought for every ball. And Aguero's done that in every UEFA Champions League this season and every other season. You know, it's something we first saw with him at Atletico Madrid, and he's continued to do it here. And those who say that maybe he's going to take a slide down the pecking order at Manchester City, well, look at the game against Barcelona. Look at the game tonight. He gave everything, and there can't be many better strikers than him in world football.
Certainly not. Here's a reminder of Tuesday's two round of 16 first leg results. Manchester City 5, Monaco 3, Bayer Leverkusen 2, Atletico 4. Let's begin with the matchup though between City and Monaco, which John Bradley was lucky enough to witness.
Silva forward inside the penalty area. Sané cross goal! Raheem Sterling for Manchester City. They found a way through.
And here is the ball delivered right for the
cross goal. Oh, it's 1-1. Radamel Falcao. It is just a picture book header from a man who's done it so many times before. Here's Mbappe. He's through on goal. It's the 18-year-old who explodes into life in the UEFA Champions League. And Monaco have come from behind. The City of Manchester Stadium, and Aguero's inside the penalty area. Right footed shot. Oh, the goalkeeper's let it go through his legs, and Sergio Aguero has level for Manchester City.
Falcao, Stones is the defender, and Falcao's beaten him, and Falcao chips the goalkeeper. It's absolutely magnificent.
Lead restored in an instant. Radamel Falcao with another UEFA Champions League classic.
It's towards Stones. Oh,
wonderful volley. Sergio Aguero, it came to him in a flash, and with a swing of that right foot, deposits the ball into the bottom corner.
As De Bruyne delivers right footed,
it's jumped, it's in, it's John Stones, and Manchester City have turned the game around. Aguero's in, he's onside, and it's in by Leroy Sané, and Manchester City have five, and in a game they've never looked comfortable in, they have a two-goal advantage. It's been an absolutely amazing night of UEFA Champions League football at the City of Manchester Stadium. It's 5-3.
And that's how it would finish in the end. Real drama. 8 goals. City finishing on top. Let's hear from one of their heroes now. The scorer of the opening goal of the night, which feels like a long time ago. Raheem Sterling.
They've got some great players that will punish us, but at the end of the day, we stuck together, we fought really hard, and we got the win that we wanted in the end, and we just got to take it in our stride now and go away for the next few days, recover and think about the second leg when it comes. Our play, our directness, but also they were magnificent on the counter-attack as well, so it was two counter-attacking teams going head-to-head, and it's just brilliant to be on the winning side today.
Alongside me and Andy Brassel is our commentator for the game, John Bradley. John, I don't really know where to start, but we might as well start with the Raheem Sterling goal in that first half.
Yes. simple, really. First, Manchester City, who didn't start particularly well, and Monaco looked a real threat. Then City draw themselves into the game, and they had one chance for Aguero. We had an air kick in front of goal, and a minute later created a similar chance, and Sterling scored. And you thought, OK, here they go. Now they settle down, and we'll see. And all of a sudden, it just upset Monaco, who then came from behind and led 2-1. Falcao's diving header, so typical of him at this level. And then Mbappe with his first UEFA Champions League goal at the age of 18 and 63 days. And you thought, 2-1 at half-time, this game isn't over. I think that's what we knew. And I think that we had two sides who looked at it and thought, we do have a vulnerability at this level defensively. So let's score plenty of goals. Had Radamel Falcao scored the penalty that was saved, a weak penalty, and he's now missed his last three in the UEFA Champions League, I thought that perhaps would have been the moment that Monaco would have gone on to win it. But getting the equaliser and then the goal by Falcao to make it 3-2 is, I mean, it's my goal of the season. I won't see a better one. Just amazing, the chip. And then Manchester City to then find the energy, the mental strength. It's the fifth time this season that they've trailed in the UEFA Champions League and turned the game around. It's an amazing record.
It is amazing. And I think the Falcao penalty miss, or I should say Caballero save, is an interesting one, because it's so easy to think of attacking players who've entertained us and dazzled us in this game. But in fact, Willy Caballero could have made the key contribution of the tie. A, with that penalty save, and B, with the save when it was 5-3 from Falcao, again, to prevent him from getting a hat-trick. And it was a terrific save, because he was diving the wrong way. It was Falcao did everything right. He pushed it back towards where it had come from for another great cross from Benjamin Mendy. And Caballero somehow managed to push a leg in the opposite direction, change direction, and push that away. And at 5-4, this would be a completely different tie.
This was a really competitive game. Two sides desperate to score goals, play football in an open, attractive way. We had 11 bookings as well. I don't think the referee got anything wrong on the night. Manchester City had a big shout for a penalty in the first half that wasn't given. I think he got that right. I think he got the Monaco penalty spot on. And I think the referee had a great game. I think the attacking players on both sides had fantastic games. The special players really came to the fore. Mbappe started really well, drifted out of the game a little late on. But Falcao, Aguero, De Bruyne, I thought Lemar, Bernardo Silva, David Silva, just brilliant attacking players. And this is why we want to watch football. This sort of game, this is why we stay up all night, or we get up early in the morning, to watch players of this talent, of this ability, perform at this level. Because this is the highest level you can play at, this club competition. And we've been treated tonight to players who have really performed at the top level, who have excelled and excited us, and that's why we love this game, for games like this.
Great resilience on both sides from players as well. Aguero booked for simulation in the first half, scores two. Falcao misses a penalty, scores one of the goals of the tournament, and John Stones, having been beaten by Falcao for that goal, went on to get their fourth. Here's what he had to say at full-time.
A lot of goals. I thought the three goals that we conceded, from a personal point of view as well, was, you know, one of the things that we need to work on. But great team spirit, great desire, and you know, great goals from us. I thought we created so much, and you know, it's a, on a personal note, delightful. But you know, added to the win, and
still got a massive game in Monaco. It's going to be a difficult place. Atmosphere is going to be intense. The fans are going to be right on us. But just happy to get the win there today. And we'll take it. Yeah, we'll analyse the game, as John said, and go to Monaco and work on the manager's team play and see what we can pull out from this draw.
Raheem Sterling speaking there after John Stones as well. Andy, Why did Monaco defensively seem to lose the grip on the game? Because every time City broke forward in that final 20 minutes, it looked very, very open to me.
That's right. It's a real question, isn't it? You wonder whether they should have found the point to wind it in a bit, and whether they can find the point to wind it in a bit and, you know, take a breath and sit on what they've got. Maybe that's what they should have done.
They're a young team
after the Falcao goal. That is true. They've got relative inexperience at this sort of level. Of course, it's a completely different team, both in terms of personnel and character, from the one that got to the quarterfinal in 2015. Things have changed a lot in those 2 years. But also, I think you have to wonder in terms of physical endurance. Because the fact that Aguero, the fact that De Bruyne, the fact that Yaya Toure were able to keep going, to keep pushing, to keep pressing, I think they may have found quite difficult to cope with. This is an incredibly fit Manchester City team. I think that's something that, you know, that is often said about English Premier League teams in the UEFA Champions League. And, you know, when you've seen Arsenal, it made me think a bit of Arsenal's games with Barcelona 4 or 5 years ago, where you'd see Barcelona dominate for 70, 75 minutes and Arsenal would hang in there and then manage to overpower them in the final stretch of the game. And that is a little bit what happened with Manchester City and Monaco this evening.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you got a sense from the celebrations at full time that the players weren't necessarily thinking about it in the context of two legs. The City players were just enjoying the fact that they'd had that comeback. But we have that second leg in 3 weeks' time at the Stade Louis II. How's this going to pan out, Andy? I mean, City are big favourites now, surely.
Yeah, they're big favourites. They're not home and dry, of course, because we've seen Monaco go to work and score a lot of goals against good teams this season. But you would have to think Manchester City, especially with the opportunities they're going to have to counter-attack, should have enough to get through it. Although, of course, the last time that Monaco faced this kind of deficit in a UEFA Champions League knockout tie, we're going back to 2003-2004, yes, that season, and the quarterfinal when they came back from having lost the first leg 4-2 at the Bernabeu against Real Madrid. And that Fernando Morientes away goal proved really, really important as they went on to win 3-1. You know, they were 1-0 down in that second leg as well. So they were 5-2 down on aggregate and they still managed to come back and come through on away goals. And, you know, this is a very close side in spirit and character to this 2004 Monaco side under Didier Deschamps. So let's see.
Can't wait for the second leg, but first let's hear from Willy Caballero, the man who saved that Falcao penalty with a score at 2-1 to Monaco.
I think it's going to be difficult if they score, but we saw a lot of image from Falcao, from the rest of the takers. Fortunately, I took a good decision and I could save the penalty.
So modest, Willy Caballero there. It was a good save to deny Falcao from the penalty spot. John, the second leg. It's probably worth reminding people, what do Monaco mathematically essentially have to do in that second leg to get past Manchester City?
Win 2-0, 3-1, 4-2, and they're through. 5-3, then it starts to get complicated, of course, and we'll head for extra time. I've got a feeling
I just like throwing a maths question at you right at the end of the night.
I will put my head on the block here when I say we will not see extra time in this time. I will say that. Amazing night, phenomenal game of football, wonderful to watch and a joy for us to be part of it. Amazing, absolutely brilliant. And, I think that if all football was like this, we'd be very happy. Even half as good as this, we'd be very happy people.
Manchester City 5, Monaco 3. John, thank you. Get thinking about your man of the match. You have to pick one guy from that game. Good luck. Next, we go to Germany. Leverkusen took on Atletico in another end-to-end encounter. It was Mark Scott who was watching this one.
Here's a chance for Sal to get away on the right-hand side, making his way into the area and going for goal in brilliant fashion. Saul with a screamer for Atleti to put the Spanish side ahead. Gamero's on the run. Gamero up against two defenders. He's into the area. Calero for Griezmann. 2-0. Henrik's first time ball. It's a good one. And it's a goal back. Karim Bellarabi at the near post. Gamero for Atleti. And he's got into the area and gone down here under a challenge from Dragovic. And it's a penalty for Atleti. It's Kevin Gamero, and it's 3-1 Atletico. Brandt on the left wing, early cross in, and it's an own goal. Out came Moyer to make the block. rebounded off Savic and in. Leverkusen 2, Atletico 3. He worked and driven in towards the header, which is guided in by Fernando Torres. And Atleti have a fourth, and that could possibly be the killer blow for Leverkusen. Bayer Leverkusen 2, Atletico 4.
Well, let's speak to Mark Sol now. Mark, you mentioned it there, and we heard it from some of your commentary from the game. That probably is the blow that knocked Leverkusen out.
Yeah, and I'm going to not make any predictions as to how games pan out in the future, given the fact that I said that after their tight tussle in the quarterfinals of this competition two seasons ago, which were 1-0 home wins in both legs and then Atleti sneaking through on a penalty shootout, it would be nip and tuck again. It was nothing of the sort whatsoever. It was end-to-end. It was action-packed. There were chances galore. It finished 4-2 to Atleti. It could have been 10-9, to be honest with you. There were plenty of chances. And I think Diego Simeone is going to deserve a lot of credit after this because it was a somewhat uncharacteristically attacking lineup from him. He really did go for pace to exploit the Leverkusen high line that Roger Schmidt likes to play with. It worked a treat in the first half. They scored twice. Only two very good saves from Leno prevented them getting more in that first period. So I think all credit goes to Simeone, and I think Roger Schmidt will go away feeling disappointed that his team defended as poorly as they did and didn't manage to deal with the undoubted attacking quality that Atleti possess in better ways.
And it's been said so often that if they'd have had that extra striker last season, Atletico Madrid, they would be UEFA Champions League holders now. I mean, how much closer are they now? Especially with, there's been so much talk about Kevin Gamero not being their first choice. They really wanted Diego Costa, but he has been a terrific signing, not least for the relationship he's developed so quickly with his countryman Antoine Griezmann.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because it wasn't that long ago that the Spanish press were saying that Griezmann didn't really have anyone else to take the goal-scoring burden off him. And now you had Gamero and Torres both jostling for a place in the starting lineup this evening, and the media was split as to which way that would go. Gamero got the nod, and I tell you what, the way that he and Griezmann played together today, it was certainly the right decision by Diego Simeone. Almost knew what kind of performance they were going to produce in Germany on Tuesday night. They were magnificent together. The awareness that Gamero had to tee up the second goal for Griezmann was just telepathy, really, between the pair of them. They were a joy to watch in the first half, and I think it's not just good news for Atleti, it's good news for France going forwards as well, the way that they combine so brilliantly together.
OK, well, let's focus on Leverkusen next, and we'll hear from one of their players now, their second half sub, the striker Joel Poyan Parlo.
We knew how tough and how quick is the offensive players from Atletico, and we should be more clear and more risk-free and maybe in Madrid. We need to learn from that and be more focused on that. Of course, everybody knows that everything is possible in football, and of course it's going to be really tough in Madrid, but I'm open-minded and I'll watch the videos after the game and we learn from those and then we go to Madrid and win the game.
As Mark said, Poyan Parlo and Leverkusen could have scored more were it not for some desperate defending, but they were without the likes of Godin and Juanfran on Tuesday night. Diego Simeone animated on the touchline as ever, Mark. What's he had to say?
Yeah, just been across his media conference, and he was talking about the performance, especially in the first half from his side, called it an extraordinary game. And in the first period, he believes they were nearly perfect, which, to be honest with you, I can't argue with. In terms of that assessment, he added that they played smart and clever football, but was also happy to admit that in the second half, Bayer got a lot better, but his side were just about able to make it through to the end. He was certainly animated throughout. He wasn't happy with his side's defending on a number of occasions. They were loose at the back, and Leverkusen could have had more than just the two goals that they did manage to create, but certainly going forwards, he couldn't have asked for anything more.
What about Leverkusen, Mark? I mean, you looked at their players at the end and they looked as if they knew the tie had slipped away from them, and that having put so much in, it was a real devastating blow to have lost it.
Yeah, I mean, the players afterwards were talking about how they did believe in themselves going into the game, that despite Atleti's pedigree in the UEFA Champions League, they could do the business against them, but they simply held their hands up and said when it came to taking the chances, the Spanish side showed the kind of clinical finishing that they know they need to possess if they are to break this curse of continually going out at the last 16 stage of the competition. They've all talked a good game afterwards, saying the tie's not over yet, but if they produce a similar performance to the one in the first half of the first leg, then they will be out of sight because Atleti were leagues above them.
Mark, thank you very much. A reminder, the second leg of this tie between Bayer Leverkusen and Atletico at the Calderon will take place on Wednesday, the 15th of March. And of course, we have coverage of it for you here on Matchday Live. OK, coming up next on the show, we're with you for just over another 10 minutes. We're going to look ahead to tomorrow's round of 16 ties, Porto hosting Juve, and Leicester travel to Sevilla.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til racismo.
Non au racisme.
Nein til racisme.
Não ao racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with Andy Brassel and me, Rob Dady. We have two more fantastic fixtures on Wednesday night in the UEFA Champions League round of 16, starting with Porto against Juventus, a match that sees two of the competition's all-time great goalkeepers, Iker Casillas and Gigi Buffon, in action. We have full commentary on Match Day Live from 19:30 Central European Time. Richard Connolly will be our commentator for the game, and he joins us on the line now. Richard, and it's a matchup between two teams who have been in winning form of late.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding form, Rob, with Porto winning their last six games and Juve their last seven in League and Cup. But I have to say, you mentioned the two goalkeepers there. I mean, if we had a game tomorrow, we always hope for goals, don't we? But if we had a game like the Manchester City-Monaco match, a 5-3 with Casillas and Buffon in goal, it would feel a bit wrong, wouldn't it? So maybe a slightly tighter affair would be to be expected, really.
It would, wouldn't it? And it's funny because Gianluigi Buffon has always garnered a lot of praise, been at the top of his game at Juventus for a number of years. You feel Neto will have a very, very long wait before he gets his opportunity, despite the fact that Buffon is 39. But Casillas has really revived his reputation by what he's done for Porto this season.
Yeah, I mean, he's been terrific, and they have the strongest defensive record in the Portuguese Liga this season, Andy. As you know, they've only conceded 11 goals in 22 matches. I mean, their home record is absolutely fabulous. Undefeated at the Dragão going back to April. But it's so difficult to predict because Porto, I think, are acutely aware of their financial disadvantage against a club with the might of Juventus, and yet know with the extraordinary power of the crowd at home that they have a real chance of riding that momentum and putting Juventus under significant pressure. But yeah, Casillas and Buffon between them, what, 263 UEFA Champions League games and 99 clean sheets. I mean, that is quite some record between them.
Juventus beat Porto in the 1984 European Cup Winners' Cup final, a rematch of that one. But Juve at the moment, me and Andy were talking about this earlier, Richard, actually, about how Max Allegri is trying to cram all his strikers into one team because Mandzukic, Higuain and Dybala are all looking very good at the moment.
Yeah, and he said today that they'll all play and Cuadrado will be in the team and Pjanic will be in there as well. There's been a bit of a tactical switch this year. They've gone away from the back three to this 4-2-3-1 system. And even though they've got those attacking players in there, they're cramming in all that creativity, all that force. Still remaining extremely strong defensively with five clean sheets in those seven games that they've won that I mentioned. So I think we can certainly draw from that they have the talent, but they are working tremendously hard as a unit as well, and they have immense strength in depth that I think does make them serious contenders to win the title this season.
Richard, thank you. Looking forward to your company tomorrow. Richard Connolly will be our commentator for Porto against Juve. Juve without Bonucci due to an internal discipline issues, but a still very strong Juve side set to play in Porto. Also on Wednesday, it's the first leg of Sevilla against Leicester City, and Claudio Ranieri believes this game could be the turning point in their season.
My priority is always the next match, and tomorrow is our priority. Could be everything tomorrow. We can lose, it's okay. Nothing happened. If we win, if we do a very good game, something inside could change. And we need one match like this.
Claudio Ranieri speaking ahead of the game. Let's speak to our commentator for Sevilla against Leicester City, Steve Wyeth. Steve, we've seen so many goals in Tuesday's round of fixtures. You might be in for a few in Spain as well.
I'm not sure about that, Rob. I know you probably had a giddy night, haven't you? We'll get a bit carried away. 29 goals so far in the first legs of the round of 16s in the UEFA Champions League. Neither Sevilla or Leicester were all that prolific when it came to goal scoring during the group stage. In fact, just seven apiece. And Sevilla kept clean sheets in five of their six games, Rob. In fact, it was a game that we did during the course of the group stage, the home game with Juventus. That was the only game in which they conceded goals. So I just wonder whether we might see something a little bit different to what we've seen elsewhere in Seville.
It is interesting, isn't it, when you talk about the Sevilla that we expected under Sampaoli, Steve, and the Sevilla that we've got. The fact that they won that first La Liga game of the season 6-4 against Espanyol, and everyone thought, well, OK, party time. But in fact, it's been the grind that has done it for them. And, you know, they've got a very, very industrious team, kind of led by a former unsung Premier League star in Stephen Nzonzi.
Yeah, he's the one that I picked out during the group stage as well. He was being really influential for them, Andy. And I can't help but feel playing against Premier League opposition tomorrow night that he'll have a big say in the outcome, because he'll know better than most in that Sevilla side the approach that Leicester will bring, the intensity of how they played in the Premier League last season. And that little bit of experience that he can deliver in the dressing room, I'm sure, will be quite influential for Sevilla. And they will be anticipating that Leicester will look to take the game to them, because as Claudio Ranieri was just saying there, they need to use this as the catalyst to return to winning ways. They were doing so well, weren't they, in the group stage of the UEFA Champions League. They took their unlikely Premier League title victory into the start of this competition. And sort of the end of the group stage has seen their form drop off. And in fact, they've lost more than half of their games since the end of the group stage in December. So they will be hoping, they'll be keeping their fingers crossed that this is the opportunity to regain their mojo.
Leicester City beaten in the FA Cup by Millwall at the weekend. A much changed side, in truth. They will be without Slimani for the game. Steve, I know you've seen a lot of Leicester. What do you put down to the change in form? They've lost six of their last eight fixtures in all competitions.
Yeah, and eight of the last 15, Robbie. It's almost catastrophic the way that their season has panned out. They're just a point above the relegation places in the Premier League. I mean, it would be absolutely unthinkable that the champions would be relegated, but it just shows you how much the confidence is a fragile thing, and perhaps they can be a little bit more carefree now that the UEFA Champions League is returning. This will be the opportunity for them against Sevilla.
From a giddy Rob Daly to a Scrooge, Steve Wyeth. Steve, thank you very much. I hope you get some goals in the Wednesday night game between Sevilla against Leicester City. Alongside me, still on Matchday Live, is Andy Brassel and John Bradley. But let's get man of the match from Mark Scott, who saw Bayer Leverkusen against Atletico tonight. Mark, who was the outstanding performer?
Well, there was a lot of talk about whether it would be him or Torres that partnered Griezmann up front, and Kevin Gamero repaid the faith in him by Diego Simeone with a fabulous performance, teeing up one goal, scoring a penalty as well. He was brilliant.
Thanks, Mark. Manchester City 5-3 winners against Monaco. Let's hear from Pep Guardiola.
And of course, I'm so happy for, of course, the result, because we're still alive, and especially for the performance for that guys. For most of them, is the first experience in Champions League. These kind of things maybe help for this club to achieve another step, to get in better, to be a better club, a better team. Huge compliment for the players to be there. Don't give up, never, and to be there. That's why we are still alive.
They certainly are. Man of the match is from the City of Manchester Stadium, Andy and John.
Sergio Aguero.
On a night when Radamel Falcao scored two sensational goals, the penalty saved means that Aguero just gets the nod.
I was going to go Falcao. Gents, thank you very much. That's all we have time for on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. It was a truly spellbinding night of football in Manchester. Pep Guardiola's City came from behind twice to run out 5-3 winners over a young Monaco side. And there was no shortage of drama in Germany as Atletico turned on the style to see off Bayer Leverkusen 4-2 in the first leg of their round of 16 tie. Join us again from 19:30 Central European time on Wednesday night when it's Porto against Juventus and Sevilla against the English champions Leicester. Let's hope for similar entertainment in those two matchups as well. Until then, from Andy Brassel, John Bradley, Mark Scott and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Here's a chance for Saul to get away on the right-hand side, making his way into the area and going for goal in brilliant fashion. Saul with a screamer for Atleti to put the Spanish side ahead. Henrik's first on ball, it's a good one, and it's a goal back. Karim Bellarabi at the near post. Neatly worked and driven in towards the header, which is guided in by Fernando Torres. Bayer Leverkusen 2, Atletico 4.
Silva forward inside the penalty area. Sané cross goal! Raheem Sterling for Manchester City. They found a way through.
Falcao. Stones is the defender. And Falcao's beaten him. And Falcao chips the goalkeeper. It's absolutely magnificent.
Lead restored in an instant. Radamel Falcao with another UEFA Champions League classic. And it's in by Leroy Sané. And Manchester City have 5. It's been an absolutely amazing night of UEFA Champions League football.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.